it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend and a very happy Mother's Day yesterday. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Had a kid-free weekend. Thanks to thanks to Michelle K over here. So feeling great, energized this week.
Coming in clutch, Michelle. Did you survive? Good morning. How are you?
I did survive. I played house this weekend at the Rex Roads. Got to go live from Joe Rex Roads' home studio on Saturday.
And what a glorious room that is.
Well, and I was tiptoeing in because the Jack, your oldest, was like passed out on the couch, and I was like, okay, I can't talk too loud. So I shut the doors, and then after the show at 11, he was still. Didn't even notice. I'm like, oh, cool. We're good.
What time do you wake up? About 2 p.m. or so? Something like that? Right around there?
Probably. Yeah.
It's 4:30 p.m. and Jack's still asleep. What's going on over here?
If he was living in Hawaii right now, he'd be perfect.
Yeah, man. He would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wish I could still do that. I remember those days.
Yeah.
Do you use Rex Road's fancy microphone over the weekend, too?
I tried because I saw it sitting there, but I didn't have an adapter for my computer.
But
it was tempting.
That's too bad.
Mahogany.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling it. The mahogany microphone. Just beautiful.
Wow. And Junie had more awesome takes.
Did he?
Right? What was Junie's crazy take this time?
That it was absolutely bizarre that I said the Tennessee Titans could win on Thursday. We were going through and saying win-loss on the schedule.
Like, no way they could beat the mighty Steelers.
No
way. The steel curtain out there.
Apparently it was bizarre. And then he said, top to bottom, they have one of the best rosters in the entire NFL. And I was like, yeah, as long as you figure out the quarterback situation. Then he got really mad.
Wow, that's an especially bad take.
Well, I don't know, Joe. Did you have the Pittsburgh Steelers as one of the best rosters in the NFL heading into this season?
I did not. But, hey, man, Junie's into this stuff. I will say, I hear him start, especially bringing down the Steelers, I mean, he knows stuff about that roster that I never would want to know.
Yeah,
so.
There is that.
Exactly.
He knows a lot. There's no question. Yeah. Joe, Michelle, let's pour one out for the nation of Canada this weekend as both the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers are eliminated from the playoffs, which means that, once again, no Stanley Cup winner from the nation of Canada since the year 1993. So before Michelle Knezovic was even alive.
That is so true.
In 1993 was the last time that a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup.
With Guy Carboneau.
It is one of my favorite annual rites of passage at this point when the last Canadian team is eliminated because of just the sheer panic that sets in up there and frustration and all those things. And Toronto bounced from the playoffs by the Florida Panthers over the weekend. And then last night, the Vegas Golden Knights, after Edmonton goes up 2-1 early in the first period. They win 5-2 last night, and both Toronto and Edmonton eliminated over the weekend, Joe Rexroad. Pour one out for the nation of Canada.
The Toronto stuff, I love it. We'll continue to make fun of them. It's just absolutely – it's the gift that keeps on giving. I'm bummed about Edmonton.
I am, too.
Because I mean, really, NBA and NHL playoffs right now, there's a lot – and obviously my Warriors are out, so I'm sad. But beyond that, like, I just – a lot of outcomes that have happened that I didn't want to happen.
Yep.
Like, I'm not super excited about, I mean, the Rangers never should have lost to the stupid Devils. So I'm not excited about Canes, Panthers, and I'm not excited about Golden Knights and either of the two teams that they might play. I'm sorry.
Yeah, from an NHL perspective, like if you're the league looking at it right now in the Eastern Conference, you're like, oh boy, the Canes and the Panthers. Now, look, I think that actually has a chance to be a really good series. I'm just not overly excited about it.
No, it does. No, they're playing great, and they're both really good teams. They've been good teams.
Yeah.
Of course, Florida's very different this year, but that's a heck of a story.
That's a heck of a story, and I think it's got a chance to be a really good Eastern Conference final. On the West side of things, I mean, I'm with you. Like, it's Vegas who, I think a lot of people around here, a lot of people around the league are like, oh, cool, so Vegas is back in it again because – they haven't had enough success for a nice expansion team. And then you might have another expansion team riding along with him. The Kraken force game 7 against the Stars. Elie Tolvanen with 3 points in that game. And there's a game 7 between the Kraken and the Stars coming up tonight for the rights to play the Vegas Golden Knights. So we could be looking at, Joe, a Vegas-Seattle conference final with the two latest expansion teams in the West, and then Florida and Carolina in the East. That'd be something.
You know, if it does get to Seattle, Vegas, first of all, you have to give a ton of credit for decisions made for for both teams being built. You
sure.
do. But I do also wonder, like, is it time to look a little bit at, I mean, not that I don't even know when the next time it would come up. I mean, I don't know. When's the next time the NHL going to expand?
It's going to be a while.
Yeah. So it probably doesn't matter, but like maybe they went a little bit too far helping franchise, expansion franchises get competitive.
I would say that obviously Vegas got to the Cup final their first year, and I believe this is either their third or their fourth. I think it's their third, but I'll go back and look. It's either their third or fourth conference final, which for comparison's sake, the Predators have been in the conference final one time in 25 years.
Yeah.
And Seattle has a chance to go to the conference final in their second year. Now, we'll see what happens tonight, but if they win tonight on the road in Dallas, you're talking about two expansion teams that within their first 2 years have gone to at least the conference final.
Yeah. And again, credit to them.
Sure.
You got to look at the format. And of course, if you're like David Poyle or anybody who was an expansion franchise back when the rules were the way they used to be, you're really looking at like, geez.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What's more, like, what is the better outcome, Seattle or Dallas?
I think Dallas. Look, I think Dallas is better than they are. Obviously, not by much, just based on the way the series has gone. But I think it would be a really good series between Vegas and Dallas. That's what I'm rooting for.
Okay.
We'll see.
Makes sense.
But again, not overly excited about either matchup.
Yeah. But you know what? We got a game 7.
We have a game 7.
Any game 7
I'll take
is something to be excited about.
So looking forward to that. Game 7 between Seattle and Dallas coming up. Joe, on the NBA side of things, the conference finals are set. It'll be L.A. and Denver in the Western Conference. That gets underway tomorrow, I believe. And then on Wednesday, it'll be the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. So the exact same conference finals from the bubble playoff series back in 2020. Pretty interesting that way, 3 years later.
That is. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the NBA would like to say?
I'll
be watching every single call in these conference finals as the NBA tries to engineer Lakers Celtics. I'm kidding. I really don't think it's fixed. But go Nuggets, go Heat. Go Nuggets, go Heat.
Yes. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, the Nuggets have been basically like the best team in the league the whole year, and everybody just looks right over past them because it's like, okay, well, they got Jokic and Jamal Murray, but who cares, whatever, it's the Nuggets, and they just steamroll people all the way through the season and now all the way through the playoffs, and they've got the LeBron, AD, and the Lakers staring them down. You know, I think LeBron will get his, obviously, in this series, and Anthony Davis is going to be huge in this series too. But, like, nobody stopped Jokic all year, and I don't know that that's just all of a sudden going to start right now.
No, yeah. I mean, I can't wait for a full 7-game series of Jokic AD.
Yeah.
It's such a fascinating matchup. I mean, to me, that's AD as a face-up driver. And, yeah, I mean, Jokic's going to get his. I think it might come down to, you know, guys like Murray. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, the matchups, you know. Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
What's his matchup?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean,
when he plays well, that's the thing. Can he guard Russell? I mean, the thing about Aaron Gordon is he just likes to shoot jumpers.
He
out,
does.
But when he's hitting, they are insane because yeah. You got the kid from Missouri also hitting threes.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. Then on the eastern side of things, the Heat and the Celtics. Game 7 yesterday between the Sixers and the Celtics. And for a while, it was looking competitive. And then very quickly in the second half, it was not looking competitive anymore. And the 76ers fall short again. And Doc Rivers, who is probably the most overrated coach, in my opinion, in the history of the National Basketball Association, with his 10th Game 7 loss, which is 5 more than anybody else. 10th.
A firing is covering.
He's probably not going to make it.
Yeah. Another called shot. Check off the list.
Yeah, well, but your called shot on those guys under 50?
Nice. Yeah, pretty good.
I mean, you said that, like, come on. But, yeah. Also, did I go 0-6 in weekend winners? I think I have not checked. I think I may have gone 0-6.
No, you picked the Lakers.
That's true. You did pick the Lakers.
Okay.
So you at least got one.
That's true.
But you were just trying to reverse jinx.
Yeah, which totally didn't work. But, yeah, thank you. I at least feel, okay, I got 1-5 then. Awesome.
I'll have to go look. I don't know what the record is. You at least got one.
My lock was Sixers. My lock was Sixers covering, and also, you know, they're going to win outright. Yeah.
It is kind of amazing. Like, with Embiid and Harden and Doc Rivers and, like, trusting the process, and they've been building up to this point for, like, the last 3 years, and they cannot get over the hump. It's amazing. And I remember, you know, Butler used to play for them, and they pretty famously basically chose Tobias Harris over him. And there's this nice clip a couple years ago when they beat him in the playoffs of Jimmy Butler just walking through the tunnel and was just like, Tobias Harris over me! Tobias Harris over me! He just keeps saying it, walking down the tunnel. And now here the Heat are again in the conference final for the third out of the last 4 years.
And meanwhile, yeah, and of course the former, you know, the most recent guy everybody ripped on, Ben Simmons. So apparently he's taking shots at them on social media.
He did. He was drinking a glass of wine and watching the game unfold and tweeted out a picture.
Stop.
Well, the best part about it was, like, the wall that the TV was on that he was watching was completely off center, and, like, the comments underneath it were like, hey, it's Ben Simmons shooting for him, even on his wall up there. It's not where it's what it's supposed to look like. It's great.
Oh, wow.
So, what a weekend in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Conference finals set in the NBA and a game 7 tonight for the final spot in the conference finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. So, busy weekend in sports over there in both the NHL and the NBA. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. And it was also Titans rookie minicamp over the weekend as well. We'll take a look at that. Take a look at some highlights from that and some thoughts from Mike Vrabel as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
And so I think we're off to a good start. You know, we want them to be respectful of the people in the building. We want them to be accountable to where they are supposed to be. Want them to be accountable to their teammates, that they know what to do, or at least are putting the effort in to know what to do. Those are things I think are important. I would say that my patience level is probably improved over the years, Jimmy. Would you agree? I think that, yes. I just said that to Stretch earlier. I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's just having done it a few years, and I explained to him, so the lineman's going to go the wrong way, and he's going to run into somebody, and we're going to be running to the right, and you're going to go to the left. We're going to fumble a snap. We're going to drop a pass. The coverage is going to be screwed up. Those are things that when I wake up in the morning for rookie minicamp, I know they're going to happen, just like they're happening at 31 other rookie minicamps.
A jovial Mike Vrabel over the weekend.
Soft.
With the media.
Soft.
Vrabel was in a good mood on Saturday in his press conference.
This better be like 4 hours today of, is Vrabel soft?
Maybe it's what we should do.
Starting at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or we could do it too.
He's in a good mood. He's joking around all of the press conference all over the weekend. Jovial Mike Vrabel at rookie minicamp.
How about that?
Man, it was something to behold. Rookie minicamp for the Titans over the weekend. Obviously, the highlight of the weekend was a bunch of Will Levis passes that people have recorded out there, which I love this. Whether it's at training camp or at, like, even worse, at rookie minicamp, of just the hot takes either way of the Will Levis stuff, or name your quarterback when they're throwing against air and nobody's rushing them, all that stuff. But he did make some impressive throws over the weekend, and people watched his release, and I was looking at some of the comments on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw the release thing.
Under the release, which, by the way, looks pretty impressive. It was good stuff. But a lot of people are like, man, that I don't want to say it, but that release reminds me of another guy that's played in the league for a long time. And it was Aaron Rodgers. Of just the people talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I saw that.
Release.
Did you agree? Do you agree?
He's got ways to go for it. He's not quite the same.
Well, no, obviously no. But I mean,
know, I'm talking about the release, too. It's not the same.
Just how it looks.
It's not the same.
Because I don't look at it and think that
automatically
either. The funny thing about Aaron Rodgers is how much he changed his release from Cal.
It's completely different.
Yeah. As he spent 9 seasons behind Brett Favre, he had time to work on it. But yeah, that was interesting. But then other people were like, oh yeah, it looks just like Mariota.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. He is wearing number 8.
Yep.
No, it was interesting to watch that over the weekend. Skoronski, there was a nice piece of footage that Jimmy Wyatt put out there of him just barreling over somebody at rookie minicamp as well. So that's about the two takeaways I had from the rookie minicamp videos over the weekend of Will Levis and Peter Skoronski.
You got all the questions to Skoronski, you know, guard or tackle.
Yep, he's
guard
playing both.
Guard or tackle, playing both. Okay. I know there's been some like, oh, look at this. Look at the, from like the Titans fish side. Look at this. Freeze it up. Oh, he's at left guard. Yeah. What does it mean? And then you got the Tyjae Spears, or according to Kaharski, Tyjae Sharp.
Well,
you know, whatever you prefer. Basically, just shutting down questions about the knee.
Yeah.
Looking very good, by the way. If you want to talk about just like footage against air, and if you're like, oh, you know, watch that guy run.
Yeah. Look.
Don't know how long it's lasting, but he looks good right now.
I don't know how long he's going to stay healthy. I'm not a doctor. I don't know these things. But when he's healthy, we've talked about it. Like, he's pretty explosive. I like the pick from the standpoint of if he's healthy on the field, like he might be able to help the Titans immediately this year. You know, beyond the how long is he going to be healthy and how long is the knee going to hold up, I don't know anything about all that. But maybe in the immediacy, that part of it doesn't really matter, and he helps you a lot this year.
This is where I still don't like understand. I don't understand that situation, and I know that like there are other examples that people have given, but like if it has this like limited shelf life, how could it be so effective now? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
just, that's above my head, buddy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't get it. You know, I can't wrap my brain around that. Like if it's this thing that's going to limit his time frame, how is he so fluid and healthy now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what does that mean for the long-term prognosis of it? Like, everybody's obviously, you know, they were asking about that. He had no interest whatsoever in kind of discussing the knee part of it out there. But, you know, everybody just kind of assumes that it's like some ticking time bomb with his knee there, and who knows how long it's going to last. But I don't know. I know this. You know, I've gone back and to the old YouTube university of watching some highlights of the kid. He's pretty darn good. Like, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's gonna be fun. You know, I always think about these things also, especially like rookie camp, because you're just thinking about the new guys who are coming in. I think about this in terms of exhibition game. Because last year it was like, oh, man, the exhibition games actually will matter because, like, Malik Willis will play and we actually want to watch him play. And this year, Spears, obviously Levis, whatever work he gets. Willis, too, I guess. Yep. Willis again. I guess you know, you get excited about watching some Skoronski out there.
Will he play a lot in the preseason? They may just be like, hey, man, take about five
snaps.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
We need you.
Don't take any snaps. We don't want people to know if you're left guard or left tackle until the season begins.
That's right.
Not even any practice reps. What about Dowell? Dowell, I think, looks pretty good,
by
the way.
I was impressed with some of the videos that I saw him. There was one nice one that you would appreciate of – them running through like receiver drills out there, and Vrabel just yelling, talking about it's a stiff arm and, you know, expletives flying everywhere, all these things. It just reminds me of the stories you tell of Vrabel on the practice field and what a pleasure it is to witness out there at times.
It's amazing. Yeah. This is Hard Knocks, and actually
I think it was Buck that put that out there, by the way.
Okay. Good job, Buck. Yeah. Hard Knocks is, would be great here because he'll be funny. Now, if anybody remembers the Texans Hard Knocks, it was watchable because of Vrabel.
Yeah, exactly.
And back then, he didn't care, man.
No. Do we know who Hard Knocks is this year? Have they come out with that yet? Like, the Titans have got to be getting pretty close to
There's very few teams left. So they did the Mighty Lions last year.
They did.
And the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hard Knocks also kind of stinks now. So that's the thing. Like, I could believe that Hard Knocks would come here and they'd be like, hey, you know, can we just keep it to like when Vrabel's like, okay, guys, here we go at the beginning of practice and nothing else. Hard Knocks has gotten way worse.
I'm looking at a CBS Sports article, and it says that this from April the 4th, 2023. It says four teams are eligible for Hard Knocks, and they are the Jets, the Bears, the Saints, and the Commanders. The Titans are not on that list.
Why would they not be?
I don't know. I've not read the whole. This is a longer article than it needs to be about Hard Knocks, but I could not tell you.
What about the Jets? I'm sure the Jets would be. That would be fun.
Yeah.
You'd enjoy that.
Team doesn't have to be on the show if any of the three rules apply to them. They have a first-year head coach. They have a playoff berth in the past two seasons, and they have appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 10 years. So I guess the Titans wouldn't have to be on it because they had a playoff berth 2 years ago.
What?
Just what the article says.
So Hard Knocks is only interested in bad teams?
I guess.
I didn't know that.
I mean, you could say yes if you were like, yeah, we'll do that. But I don't know if I can imagine Vrabel being like, yeah, come on in. Let's do that.
Yeah, no.
So basically, they're outs. Those things are outs if you don't want to do it.
So basically, there's just one more reason for the Titans to Fank this year. So then they have to be on Hard Knocks next year.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Team Fank all the way now.
So it's going to be either the Jets, the Bears, the Saints, or the Commanders? Eh.
I don't care.
I guess I'm pulling
for Jets. I always think about quarterback Derek Carr.
Yeah.
No Bears, please.
Justin Fields.
Sam Howell. Yeah, I mean.
Your daughter's a Bears fan now.
She better not be. I know her flag football team is the Bears. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wait, then what was the other one? Commanders?
Commanders, Jets, Bears, Saints.
It's got to be Jets, man. Please be Jets.
That would be good. I'd pay attention to the Jets. I mean, it's like a Packers reunion out there with Cobb and Lazard and all these other people. So, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
They can follow Rodgers into the darkness cave. They got any caves out there in New York?
I feel like Robert Sala would be good,
Aaron's
too.
Not here today. Where's he at?
Robert Sala would be good, yeah.
Oh, nobody knows. He's over here in some cave somewhere.
Albany. They got caves in Albany. Did I say Albany wrong?
It's Albany.
Ay, sorry. It's like Nevada. It's Nevada. It's not Nevada.
Louisville.
Yeah.
There you go, Rob.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But, hey, Will Levis looked good throwing the ball over the weekend.
Well, a lot made of the big play on the end of him and Josh Wiley, right?
Yeah.
Getting a little rookie connection going.
So a rookie connection. This is the fun part about having a quarterback is that you take high in the draft is on May the 15th. Here we are on a show discussing a pass that he made in rookie minicamp with no pass rush and no pads and all that stuff. It's fun.
I mean, hey, all weekend I'm looking, it's like, takeaways from rookie minicamp. Yeah. I mean, it's, man, they've found a way to have the news cycle all year long. It's amazing.
They have. Speaking of Will Levis, we're going to get into him a little bit deeper coming up next. How will the Titans and Mike Vrabel know when Will Levis is ready to play? We'll get into that coming up next as well. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Yeah, we used to live up in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, moved till I was seven. So pretty much since I could walk for those few years, I was going to Patriots training camp every year, watching those Patriots teams, watching Coach Vrabel and them practice, and had a little signed football from him, actually. So I told him that story. It's kind of funny. But yeah, being a Patriots fan growing up, that's just one of the little wrinkles and all of that. That's pretty cool.
You still have that ball?
We actually had a house fire a few years back and did not make it, unfortunately. But, yeah.
What'd you think? Isn't that nice of me? Must have caught me on a good day, Will. That's what I told him. Make me feel old? No. I mean, I guess just having kids that are 22 and 21 and a body that feels like crap probably makes me feel old. But that's what I think you love is, professional athletes that have to, have a training camp where fans can come out, to have the kids. I've told you this before, pictures of Tyler, or, walking off the field with Teddy's, Bruschi's kids wearing Tom's shoulder pads and carrying it. And, love seeing our coaches bring their kids to practice. And, Craig Aukerman's kids were here today, and everybody else's kids are going to be coming through here in the spring or in training camp. So, you know how much that means and how important that is.
The Will Levis Mike Vrabel connection goes back a good ways, Joe Rexroad. Vrabel talking about how nice it was back in the day when he signed that football for Will Levis.
Again, jovial Vrabel.
He's in a good mood.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one, though. It's like, it's a really cool story. And yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a kid. And then, you still had the ball? Well, we had a house fire.
fire.
Jeez. Yeah, like, wah, wah. Yep. That's too bad.
Did not see that one going that way. Got some tickets to give away to see Bryan Adams at Bridgestone Arena on June 17th with special guests Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Be caller number 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025, caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams at Bridgestone Arena coming up on June 17th with special guests Joan Jett and the Blackheart, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the quarterback dynamic here with Tannehill and Willis and Levis and the writing on the wall about for Levis and what that means for him moving forward here in the future. At some point, Will Levis is going to be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, be that at some point this year, be that as simple as being in 2024 and going from there. When that is, I don't know. But, you know, Will Levis, based on the S2 cognition test that we talked a lot about in the pre-draft process, based on the fact that he played in the SEC and he played in an offense that is at least similar to the offense that they're running here in Nashville with the Titans, you know, there's a chance that we get into training camp in the preseason and he looks good and he looks like he's competent and he looks like, you know, he is able to at least play at the NFL level right now. We've talked about this before. Ryan Tannehill probably will and should be further along than Will Levis is significantly heading into camp. But my question for you is, like, as you're Vrabel and you're Carthon and you're the Titans and you're evaluating this whole picture and what this all means for Will Levis, how do you know when is the right time for him to play? And a lot of organizations handle this differently. Like, I'm sure Bryce Young's probably going to play right from the jump this year would be my guess. C.J. Stroud's probably going to play right from the jump this year. We'll see from Anthony Richardson. We've talked about, you know, Mahomes sitting for a year and Rodgers sitting for 3 years and the different scenarios that have popped up. But if you're the Titans and you're evaluating Will Levis, how do you know when the right time is, when he's ready to get in there and play as you move forward here?
Yeah, well, I just think it's I've got to think that, first of all, everybody would love for it to just be after a year. Maybe not. I don't know. Some people may think, hey, how are you going to get better if you're not actually on the field, you know, playing games? You find plenty of examples of quarterbacks who struggled a lot early and then and they got better because of it. But I think conventional wisdom is if you can have a year, you can have that extra time. That's ideal. I mean, I can see Will Levis looking really good and being prepared, knowing the playbook, and looking like he's ready in practice, but that's still different than being in a game, you know? Like, I think the decision is made by the outcomes that happen without Will Levis. That's what it is to me. It's the outcomes that happen without Will Levis. They get to a certain point, okay, then it's worth probably – if you feel like he's doing well in practice and he appears to be ready, great. If you're out of the – race. The idea that Will Levis as a rookie is going to like lead the Titans any significant winning, I think, is fantasy.
Well, I mean, it's the rookie quarterbacks in the league. It's really hard to win that way. It's really hard to win with a rookie. And you know, there are players that talk about that all the time when you've got a rookie quarterback leading the way. It's just interesting to watch the discourse around him because, you know, we've talked about the offense that he ran in college, and it's not totally the same as the one that they're running here with the Titans, but there are similarities to it, and we've talked about Liam Cohen and that connection there, and you know, I'm sure the verbiage and some of the things, the calls that he's going to have to make are different than they are than they were in Kentucky than they are here in Nashville. So there's the learning curve that comes there. But another big talking point out of this weekend was, man, Will Levis is pretty intense with the way that he studies. And you know, Colton Dowell's talking about, you know, he was kind of afraid to pick up the remote in his hotel room because Levis is over there on the iPad studying plays and studying formations and all this other stuff. So
it's a good quote.
Like, yeah, it's a good quote. I mean, and you know, it doesn't surprise me. We talked about your story on Will Levis over the weekend, which got a lot of reaction, and a very well written story by Joe Rexroad, if you missed it, at theathletic.com.
Thank you.
But you can check that out. And, you know, everything off the field in terms of his study habits and his desire to be really good, I don't think people should really question that part of it. So that's a long way of me saying it's not going to surprise me when he shows up in training camp and he knows what to do with the ball and he knows the offense and he knows that, you know, the playbook pretty much backward and forward by that point. That's his job as the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, I think that's the expectation. It should be. Anything other than that would be a surprise. And honestly, I mean, I don't know. Like, if we're going to compare, because a year ago we were talking about another young quarterback. I mean, Malik Willis obviously was not ready last year and had some good moments in camp, but a lot of moments where you're like, yeah, he's not ready. And then when he got in the game, he really wasn't ready.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, it's – so Levis might – be ahead of that by virtue, one, of, again, being a similar offense and all that, and he might look really good in camp. There's still a big difference between that and then, okay, here's an actual game. Here's a defense that is trying to disguise everything, and they're coming at you from different angles, and they know you're a rookie, and they're going to attack you. I mean, that's just so different than anything that you do in training camp. And really, so different than preseason games. I mean, you may see some blitzes and stuff, but it's not the same thing.
Well, and then there's the benefit, right? Like, even let's say Tannehill stays healthy, and the Titans, maybe they're not an elite team in the AFC, maybe they're not leading the division, but they're, I don't know, you get through the season and at some point they're 5-7 or 5-8, whatever the record would be at that point. You've got a few games left in the year. Like, I do wonder what is kind of the cutoff line for them as they say, you know what, it's time for the kid to get in there and play. Or is it really as long as Ryan Tannehill is healthy? We saw what happened with Malik Willis last year, and it's a different situation. I get it. But we want Will Levis to sit. We do not want him to play this year. So regardless of what happens out there, as long as Tannehill is healthy, we're going with Tannehill, and then Levis is going to be the guy in 2024. Like, are they cautious about playing a rookie quarterback, even though it is a different situation and a different person, based on what we saw from Willis a year ago?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that answer is also, okay, so is the offensive line good enough that you feel like you can put in Will Levis and he's not just going to get battered?
Right.
Is the offense around Tannehill so bad again that Will Levis being out there, he just doesn't have support and it's not going to go well, and so there's no way it's going to be any kind of boost to his confidence? Like, if they're basically out of it and you feel like a quarterback could function in that offense, then yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at that point to just give him some live game reps, you know. But I think those questions are really big. Is it like, well, sorry, Ryan. Hey, thanks for your time here. You can play out the season with this crap, and then next year we'll actually get upgrades on the offensive line of people who, like, have started or could start, or we'll actually get a receiver or two who can scare a defense, and then Levis will be more prepared. And thank you, Ryan. Thank you for your service. I mean, I could see that too.
Well, right, because, I mean, I agree with you. If it's the other way around and the Titans are competitive and they're in the race for the division and they've got a chance to make a playoffs throughout the year, it's going to be Tannehill as long as he's healthy. I mean, it should be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're keeping Ryan Tannehill on the roster, then you might as well play him and try to be as good as you can be. So, like, I do think just sitting here from kind of the 30,000-foot view, that's the approach the Titans probably want to take, which is we're going to let Levis sit behind Tannehill and learn from Tannehill, and then in 2024, he's our guy. And by the way, like, you know, Ryan Tannehill, we've talked about his, you know, kind of his demeanor and approach at the press conference. I have no doubt that Ryan Tannehill is going to do the right things. And in terms of, like, watching somebody be a pro, you know, Will Levis is in good hands watching and learning from Ryan Tannehill as he moves in through this year.
One of the things that didn't make, and I noticed, as I mentioned about that story about Levis, you know, Nick Suss did a good story in the Tennessean, talked to Hasselbeck. I saw Jimmy White, talked to Hasselbeck. Hasselbeck's doing like
a busy car
wash on Will Levis. But look, I mean, he really just sort of had, you know, he's had some time with him and had just become a fan of him in a short period of time. But one thing he mentioned, Hasselbeck is pretty close with Ryan Tannehill, and he's like, I mean, you know, these guys are perfect for each other. Like, they're going to be great because they really are similar in a lot of ways. They're similar as players, but I think similar in approach too. So, yeah, I mean, I think that'll be a good situation.
I think it'll be a good situation. And, again, like, if you're Vrabel and the Titans, like, the interesting part is, like, what if Levis, just based on his arm talent, at some point reaches a point throughout this season, and it'll probably have to be in practice, where, like, Vrabel and the Titans look around and say, all right, like, we've watched him grow. We feel good about his decision-making. Like, could there be a point this year where they're like, you know what? We need a spark. Could the rookie provide it? Like, I doubt it with Tannehill being your quarterback, but I do wonder about that. Like, if he's doing everything he's supposed to do just based on his arm talent alone, and if they feel like he's ready in all the other aspects, could the Titans pull the trigger at some point on that?
Yeah, that to me is like, then it's like, okay, so Tannehill's really the problem, would be that. So you think back to 2019, there were a lot of problems with that offense.
Yep.
But there was also it was a fair question from the very start when they acquired Tannehill, like, is he better than Mariota? I mean, he's done more in the NFL.
Yeah.
So different than this, right? So I can't believe that there would be a situation where it's like, well, maybe Levis will come in and it'll go the other way because of the quarterback position. I could be wrong. Who knows? Who knows how Tannehill – maybe Tannehill in this season where he basically knows he's a lame duck quarterback, like, he won't – that'll affect his confidence. It'll affect his performance. I don't know. But I think if the offense struggles with him, I bet you that it'll be factors other than him that'll be the bigger issue.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on Will Levis and the Titans coming up next. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, there's been a lot of reaction to your piece specifically on Will Levis over the weekend and kind of taking people behind the curtain there in terms of some background on Will Levis. What's kind of the feedback that you've gotten from your Will Levis article that came out Friday morning?
Well, let's see. Lots of back and forth in the comments. I had a really good comment that I wanted to read that was the most recent one, if it still is. Maybe there's a new one since then. But let me read this comment to you. It's really good as I fumble around on the internet. Okay, from James C. I typically do not like your stuff because I think you have a sensationalist side to look for the dirt. That being said, this is the best article I've read from you. So,
is that good? Is that a compliment?
I'll take it as a compliment. With all due respect. Here's something very disrespectful. I think a lot of reaction. And honestly, it's a little bit surprising. I would say if you go through these comments and even like Twitter and whatever, there is a whole bunch of, wow, I totally think differently about him now, you know? And it's kind of a little surprising to me because, I mean, like I even went on with Willie and D-Mace, Friday to talk about it. And it is a little surprising to me how much the real cotton candy sort of quick take of Levis seems to be like the prevailing. I mean, there's a lot, it's not like this story was like some shocking revelations of Will Levis. Like, it's all out there that he like graduated in 3 years at Penn State with a 4 point in finance or whatever. Like, a lot of these things are kind of out there. Just kind of put them all together. And then like the backstory was interesting, but still, like, people read this like, wow, you know what? I think I might actually root for this guy now. I don't think he sucks anymore, you know? And it is kind of like, it makes you realize, man.
Yes.
It makes you realize, like, how much of the perception of people like this can be so rooted in so little information, if that makes sense, you know?
Maybe you should be his agent moving forward. Like, they have turned the fan base around here, Rex Road.
D-Mace is like, yeah, this almost reads like damage control. I'm like, well...
Well, listen, Joe, you've got Bryce Young, you've got Joe Milton. I don't know if you can add another one.
Yeah,
I mean, you're loaded.
Well, I mean, but if I had all them as an agent, I'd be in good shape. I'd be feeling pretty good about things. Yeah, and of course, I was like, the thing is, damage control, that would have helped him before the draft. Yeah. At this point, like, what happened, he fell. He fell in the second round. He went in the second round. But, ultimately, like, it was a really fun story to do. I learned a lot. So whenever you do something where you learn a lot, you know that readers who care about, whoever you're writing about will learn a lot. And I didn't think, like, I was entering a story talking about someone who was, like, some goofball who just TikToked or whatever. You know, right. Like there's a lot, but still, like there's a depth of achievement and intensity with him that's going to make it very interesting. I mean, I think that if there's one thing, because like here's another quote here. Let me find this. Let me find this comment. It was like. Yeah, let's see. Gun to your head. What's your gut say? This kid gonna pan out? You know, it's like I don't know, man. I don't know.
He must decide now.
Yeah, yeah. But I would think that one thing from the football perspective you would take away from this, like if he doesn't pan out, it's not gonna be for lack of effort or like this is not gonna be a situation. Well, you just don't know. I mean, you never know what happens. People get into the real world and they're adulting and whatever. Right. But. I'll be surprised if this is a situation where he shorts himself, right? He's not going to short himself. He may not be good enough. Most of them aren't. Not good enough to be as good as everybody wants him to be, you know, in the most important job in pro sports. But he's going to, just like the Dowell thing, and that's no surprise. He's going to do everything he can possibly do to be great.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Willie from Murfreesboro. Willie, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Joe, loved the article on
Levis.
Levis, thanks, man. Thank you.
Sorry. Hey, I wanted to throw something at you. I'm a glass-half-full type of guy. What if the Titans come out, go 10-7, win the division? Tannehill has a really good year, top five. Quarterback rating throughout the year. Granted, we're going to have to stay healthy, but we win it, and then we win one game at home and then go wherever. What does that do to the plans going into 24? I'll hang up and listen. Love the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I mean,
I've thrown that at you. I've thrown almost that exact scenario at you.
You have.
And you still are – you're firing Tannehill.
I mean, look, guys, I think it's going to take a lot. I could be wrong. But I think it's going to take a lot for Ryan Tannehill to be here next year. Like, I don't want to say it's like Super Bowl or bust because I don't know if I believe that. But I think it's pretty close. Like, I think they're going to have to basically get to like the AFC Championship game in order for them to consider bringing him back next year. You know, the reality is he's about to be 35 years old, and they just took a guy with a 33rd overall pick in the second round to be their quarterback. So, I think it would take something extreme for him not to be for Levis not to be the starting quarterback next year. But it's not the first time we've heard that scenario, and it is interesting. Like, what happens if the Titans are really good this year, or a lot better than people think they're going to be?
And Tannehill's
the main, big reason for that.
Like, he's the main reason for that. That, you know, you could go through that scenario. They win a playoff game. They lose to one of the top teams, so they're not good enough. But maybe Tannehill still plays well in that game. Look, Tannehill could also be like, well, I've earned myself, you know, a starting job where, you know, elsewhere or whatever. I'd rather try to see what's out there. Although the thing about that is, you never know what may be out there, but I still feel like this particular situation, I mean, look, it's been the best football of his career, right? So there's something to be said for being here for him. But you know, yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating scenario. Another scenario that I think is really fascinating is what if, as the Titans prepare for Tannehill and all the stuff, and when's Levis going to be out there? Maybe he'll be out there, maybe he won't. What if a team out there with a good young quarterback loses that quarterback in camp?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the Titans actually could get something for Ryan Tannehill in camp.
No, it's a really interesting question, because would you be willing at that point to, I don't want to say totally punt on your season, because, I mean, who knows what Will Levis would do coming in there. But there's a certain level of certainty in knowing what you have with Ryan Tannehill, and maybe it's not great, but by and large, he's going to be a good, serviceable quarterback. So are you giving that up this year if you're the Titans and that opportunity presents itself? I mean, the counter-argument would be, well, you're going to lose him at the end of the year probably anyway, and it's going to be for nothing. You could get something back for him at that point.
Yeah, like the question is, what are you actually getting back? But if a team's desperate and they actually believe he could be the answer this season, that's possible. It's possible that you'd have to think about it. And you have a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Malik Willis. You just bump everybody up a line.
You do. Very interesting to see what that looks like. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there's a certain player that's not named Ryan Tannehill that we just kind of assume may be gone after this year, and I wonder whether or not that's the case. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.